I've entitled this message, Put Off, Put On. I have my painting shirt on, plus a few extras that got whacked on. But this scripture, verse 8, says to put them all aside. It's a scriptural principle that we need to learn. I thought about going into my boys' room and getting one of theirs because there's a little fragrance involved with some of their clothing items also, but that would only enhance the picture. When we come into this world, when we're born, and from that time on, we're born in sin, Scripture says. All of us. As cute as my grandbabies are, they're born in sin. We grow, that sin stays with us. That sin separates us from God and makes it impossible for us to have a relationship with Him. Years ago, 1974 actually was the year, I went to a camp up in the mountains. And at that camp, there was a kid that came to that camp. I had just graduated from high school. There was a kid at that camp that came up and he snuck a bottle of alcohol in his suitcase, and he was one of those super cool kids, and he thought he was going to drink a lot and get drunk, and that was his plan for the week. God had a different plan in his life, and the Lord got a hold of him, and during that week, I saw his life change overnight. Actually, it was in the middle of the day, I think, but he went from being that obnoxious kid. He got rid of the extra baggage that he had, but he came to the point of seeing his need of a Savior. When I saw that changed life, the Lord had been working on my heart through the years. I was born in a family that went to church. That was what we did. That was what my grandparents did. That was what my kids would do. We went to church. That was the thing to do. It was the right thing to do. And I thought that was enough. But I always saw other people, like the kid at camp. My mom had a friend when I was growing up. I had a friend when I was growing up, and there was something different in their lives. There was a relationship with God outside of just going to church. There was something different. Couldn't figure it out. I'd heard the gospel. I'd heard of my need for a Savior, but I went to church. I was good. But something was wrong. I still had my sin. And I tried to have a relationship with God on my terms, doing what I thought was right. But finally, when I saw that kid at camp and I saw his life change, the things that I had heard from others in the past about my need of a Savior, about my need to repent and trust the Savior, God finally got through. Church wasn't enough. Being a good kid wasn't enough. And that night on my bunk back in 1974, I prayed, and I asked Jesus to forgive me for trying to do it on my own, for thinking I was good enough, and I asked Him to come into my life. I didn't have to do this, fortunately. He did it for me. But He took off the dirty clothes. That were smelly. He took them off and He put them away. And now, because of what He did, I had a relationship with Him. That difference I saw in my friend's life, that difference I saw in that kid at camp, it was inside me. Jesus came into my life and changed me. And I knew church wasn't enough. Church is a good thing to do. I knew it wasn't enough. I knew what I needed was Jesus Christ to come into my life and forgive me and get rid of my sin. That was the only thing. This passage talks about putting off the old. It is something that has already happened for us who have repented and trusted Jesus as our Savior. It's gone. It's washed away. And not because of anything we've done, but because of who Jesus is, we have new clothes. We have clean clothes. We have, most importantly, a relationship with Him. And we can know this God that created us. This passage talks about putting them all aside. It says, get rid of them. Last week we talked about starving our old nature. That's one picture. Not feeding the flesh. This week it's putting off and understanding that we've put off the old and that the new has been put on us by Jesus' blood. Verse 9 also talks about it. And it says, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices, they have been laid aside. The old ways are gone. We have a new life. And that new life demands a new lifestyle. We need to put off. We need to understand that the old things have been put off and that we have a new life put on us. We've been redeemed. Verse 8 says that we need to put off anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive speech. The word anger is kind of that deep smoldering resentment that we sometimes have. I found a quote this week, and I'm still thinking it through in my head, but it said this, problems in life don't create our anger. Problems in life reveal our anger and give us a target for our anger. Let me say that again. Life doesn't make us angry. Life reveals our anger. In our day and age, we like to blame. It's my parents' fault. It's my neighbor's fault. It's my kid's fault. It's my wife's fault. Circumstances, people, don't make us angry. It's our reaction to them. My kids have to deal, and I did talk to most of them about this. I have a rule, I don't know if I've told you this, if I mention my kids' names during a sermon without warning them, I have to pay them $1. So, I try to get their permission. But most of my kids have had to deal with anger. Some more than others. With their backgrounds, they're adopted, the things, the circumstances that happened, in some ways they kind of have a right, if you want to say that. Now put that in light of what we just said. It's not the circumstances, it's our response. That changes things a little bit. But my kids, sometimes their anger with some of them, because I do have a few, some of them, their anger, it's right on the surface. And it doesn't take anything, and we have this huge eruption and a big mess. Other kids, it's kind of smoldering in the background. It's there, but you don't always see it, and everything seems to be all right. The word anger here is that one that just erupts and explodes. The next word, wrath, is kind of, I think I just flipped them around. The anger is the deep smoldering one. And the wrath is the eruption one that instantly explodes into flames. Doesn't take much. That wrath can be seen. The first picture up there, I don't know if you know what that is on this side. East, how's that? The east side, right? Oh, good. Okay. That's called a tumbleweed. I haven't seen them up here. Okay. Colorado, Nebraska, they are there. Trust me. And they do get that big. One of the times I remember the most with Tumbleweeds was we went to, it was a Village Missions church out in southeast Colorado. It was on the fork of the crossroads, okay? The church was on this corner, the house was, I don't even know north and west, so, but the church was here and the house was here, nothing else. It was a great church. We had a wonderful time there. There were places, they had white linoleum on the floor, and there were certain places because the people had gone there for a long time, and you know how you have your spot? And don't let anybody say, okay. They sat in their spot and they'd worn the linoleum down. So it was black. Okay. But it was a cool church. But one time we were out there at night and headed back. We lived about 20 miles in a little town and the wind was blowing. And when you're going on a country road with tumbleweeds in the dark, you don't see them until they're right in front of your car. And when they're this big, it's a little freaky. Now, you can smash them. You can drive over them. But still, when you have this giant thing coming at you, it's not fun in the dark. They're shooting at us from, yeah. Okay. I found out a few years later, in Nebraska, actually, we had, they pile up, you know, and you can collect them and have a collection, you know. But you pile them up and then you can burn them. And that's actually quite fun, guys, if you want to try it sometime. If you get a bunch of tumbleweeds and you can get them started to burn, it's like this whoosh, this big burst of flame, and then they're done. It's all over with. That's kind of this wrath. Okay? There's this big, huge burst, this explosion, and then everything's okay again. Okay, so we've got the anger, the smoldering one. We've got the wrath that just instantly flares up. We've got malice. It's a general term for moral evil, a vicious nature bent on doing harm to others. Probably refers to harm that comes from evil talk, because all of these are related to speaking. We have slander. Is the next one. We've got anger, wrath, malice, and those often lead into slander. The Greek word here is blasphemia, which we get our word blasphemy, which is speaking against God. But here it's speaking against other people, slandering them, cursing them, treating them without respect. People who are created in God's image. Things that come out of our mouth. Our speech should not contain insults, remarks. Book of James talks about this a lot. If you turn over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3 verse 6 says, the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell itself. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles, creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? The tongue. Anger, wrath, malice, slander. All of those things are part of the old nature. Those are things that we need to remember have been put off. That is our old life. Abusive speech is the last one here, the bottom of the list. The intent of speech to hurt, to harm. Those things have been put off. It's the old nature. Matthew 12:36 says, I tell you, every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Every careless word. How many times it comes out and you're going, that one shouldn't have come out. Every careless word, it says, there will be an accounting made. But that is the old nature. It has been put off. Verse 9. It says, do not lie to one another. Since you've laid aside the old self with its evil practice. Do not lie. We as believers, to live, are to live a life of truth. Jesus is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Lying is something that should be, that's part of the old guy. Part of those dirty, smelly clothes. It's a denial of the truth, and God Himself is truth. Romans 1:25 says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Lying is often equated with idolatry, because truth is so closely tied up with who God is. Lying is something that we need to remember is the old nature. What we've been, if we put this kind of together with last week, we talked about things to put off. Let's see, back in verse 5. Consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Those are to be put off. The things we talked about last week, the anger, the malice, the slander, those are part of our old nature. And we need to put those off. And then we get to verse 10. Two things we need to understand. It's not just put off. You know the famous thing about, I don't think we have fire alarms in here. But you know how everybody says, don't push the fire alarm? And what do most of us want to do? Push the fire alarm. We want to do that. Okay? There's a double thing here. If I say, don't push the fire alarm, our brains go, I'm going to push the fire alarm. I got to go do that. But if I say, go downstairs and have some of the good food that we can start to smell now, what do we do? What does our brain do? We stop thinking about the fire alarm and we go for the food. We have to put off the old and we have to put on the new. That's the principle here. It's not just stop thinking about the fire alarm, but start, and we'll get to this, feasting on the knowledge of God. Put on the new nature. Verse 10, having put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him. Instead of that old shirt, that old stinky, smelly way of life that Jesus took off, put on the new. Stop doing those lists of don'ts in here. But we'll get to more in the next weeks, the do's. Take off the old self, the old man. Put on the new self. We've had a drastic change of clothes, of life. When we repent and trust Jesus as our Savior. I think most of you know, and I did get permission, Isaiah is in ROTC. And they have Jesse Jordan. Right? I got it. Okay, Jordan, you're in ROTC too. Okay, so if I say something wrong that he told me, you can correct me. Okay. Once every Wednesday, they get to dress up. Right? Where they've got their uniforms and they got the fancy shirts and they got a tie. Isaiah can tie his own. And his coat's ready to go. And then he got the black shiny shoes. Dress for success day, right? Okay. As believers, that should be every day for us. Remembering that Jesus has put a new robe on us. We have new clothes. When we repent and trust Him as our Savior. There's a lot of debate about this old self, new self thing. Is it gone? Do I do this? Is that what happens? When we repent and trust Jesus as our Savior? Are we part old and part new? No. And I think we forget that. When we come to know Jesus as our Savior, we are transformed. We have a totally new life. The old is gone. That means we're perfect, right? I wish. Doesn't work that way. But the old is gone. The old has been taken off and the new has been put on. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. The new things have come. It's not half and half. It's a brand new self. So, why do we sin? We still live in our flesh. We still live in our body. And our body likes to come along and pick up the old self. And he goes, that was comfortable. This is my painting shirt, actually. It's white paint mostly, except I tried marker today to make it worse. But it's comfortable. Remember how things were. They're familiar, right? That's how we always live. That's our old life. And very frequently, our flesh will say, let's go back. That was comfortable. We need to remember it's gone. We have new life in Christ. It says, verse 10, have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. The new self is renewed by knowledge. Knowledge of God. Where do we get it? Here. We need to study. Okay, ladies, men. You've only had a week. No, you've had 4 days. Our verse, memory verse, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Yeah, different translations. This makes it fun. All Scripture. That is where we get our knowledge. That knowledge changes and transforms us. The new nature is complete, but the new nature is ready to grow. And it needs to grow. It needs to be fed. Little babies. What happens when they get hungry? Mom, I need a bottle. No. It gets a little loud and they're ready now. And they want food now. Take that food in. Take in the word. Understand the truth. The knowledge. Our new self needs to grow. Day by day, God's image becoming more clear in our lives. It's fun watching my grandkids grow. We got to see a couple of them on FaceTime. Yeah, I don't get those things right. Last night. And one of them, Addison, you asked how old? 3? 2? She's 3. 2. Okay. Oma and Papa is us, but actually it's Elmo and Pop. She can't quite talk. But she's usually talking to Oma. And Oma's asking all these questions, and pretty soon Addison goes, Pop! Pop! In the middle of the conversation. So we have to turn the screen so she can see me sitting in my chair, and we see Pop, and then we go on with the conversation. But watching them grow is fun. Addison has red hair from her mom. Her mom has red hair. Bailey, the little one that's about 4 or 5 months old, has dark curly hair. My son. Very interesting combination. We have a redhead with dark complexion, because Matt's Hispanic, and we have dark curly hair and light complexion. But seeing the parents in them. My kids are adopted. Lucky for them, they don't have to look like me. But I will hear, and I have an older son, Richard, who frequently says, he says something and I go, and he goes, oh, I can hear my dad saying that. It's not always a good thing, but our image, we see that in our kids as they grow. I have a brother, I'm the oldest, Mike, younger brother. But every time I see him, the older he gets, the more he looks like my dad. Never thought that. But that image of us in our kids that we see, That is what God wants us to do in us. To plant His image in us. And to have us grow in our knowledge of Him. So that we become more like Him. Put off the old. Put on the new. Remember what He did for us. Remember when we repented and trusted Him, the new life came. Are we walking in that new life? Or are we trying to get that old dirty rag? That's how we need to view the old self. It's dead and gone, and we need to keep it that way. And we need to feed the new self. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. I'd like you to think a minute. My first question for you to think about is, do you still have your old clothes on? Has there been a time when you repented and trusted Jesus as your Savior? If you've never done that, it's a simple step. It's praying and talking to God and saying to Him, Father, I know that I've sinned. I know that I'm separated from You. Please forgive me and please come into my life. If you've never prayed that prayer and you'd like to pray it today, would you raise your hand? I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you. That's how we take off the old. Those of us who have, are we walking in our new clothes? Are we starving the old nature? Are we realizing that we are new in Jesus Christ? Father, how we thank You for Your word. How we thank You for the new life that You give us. That You take off our old clothes. Our old sinful nature. And You give us a brand new nature. Father, help us to feed that nature. Not our old flesh. But that we would feast daily on Your word. That we would grow in our knowledge of You. Father, give us a hunger and thirst for that. That we would dress in our new clothes. That the world would know that there truly is a Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.